This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on, kid?
Nothing. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
What's wrong?
Well, I had, you know, one of those mornings, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's life, it is what it is.
Like the spilled coffee on your shirt?
Yeah, worse. So last night, my kid comes home from my oldest comes home from his baseball game, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I got tooth pain. And I'm like, oh, man, I hate tooth pain, right? Like, I feel bad for you, but I'm like, how bad is it? Like, you know, take some aspirin, see what's going on, right?
Yeah.
Like, drink some of that cold water. Does it hurt? He's like, no. I'm like, all right. So then he comes into my room this morning at, like, you know, 6:30 in the morning. He's like, I made an appointment at a dentist. I'm like, all right, first off, one, that's got to hurt for you to do that, because I know you. Like, you know, this, you know. So let's take that. Two,
to make an appointment at the dentist.
How do you know what insurance we have?
Right.
Like, how do you know?
How do you know who our dentist is?
Right. So, yeah.
And when did you do this? In the middle of the night? You just did it online or something?
Yeah, I did it online. So,
okay.
Anyway, I woke up this morning. I was like, all right, let's go to this dentist, right? Get this. So I... He did make it at the dentist that he goes to.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
But I'm like, let's try this other lady, the one that my other kid goes to. They just seem like a bigger operation, right? Maybe they'll be able to get you in. So I call there, leave a message. She calls back right at 8 a.m. She's like, you know, hey, if he's got tooth pain, I can see him at 8:30.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, great. We get in there. She's like, okay, so it's his front tooth. Apparently he's...
It's his front one?
This one. Right
ah.
Here. He grinds his teeth so bad that he's exposed some of a nerve, right? So they got to do a root canal.
On the front tooth.
Right. Well, get this. So then I'm like, all right, well, you know, whatever you got to do. And she's like, but, you know, we don't really want to do that because he's young. And she's like, you know, if it was one of us, you'd be like, all right, well, a root canal lasts 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, but, you know, for him, that's only mid-40s, right. You know, before he's got to deal with this again. So... Anyways, let's go through these processes and look and see what we can do. Maybe we can do a temporary one, right? There's all different kinds of stuff. So then, by the way, she does have, love to smile. I would say she does have massage chairs in the waiting room.
Oh, hell yeah.
What,
yeah.
So that you, like, relax before you're, or is this a separate part of the business?
Just, no, it's free. Just, you know, while you're... You know, your wife or your kids in there.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Nice touch.
Yeah, I got you.
Nice touch.
Right. So I'm sitting in there like,
Yeah, that's
nice. And she goes, I need to show you something. I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I go in there. Apparently, he's grinded it so bad that the tooth starts to heal itself, and it's like it
calcifies or something?
Yes, it cements itself. She can't get in there to get to the nerve because it's turned into, like, cement in there. Dude has literally, through, I guess, pure anxiety and rage at me, has given himself a root canal.
Oh, so, like, he accomplished...
Yes, by grinding it. But the problem is it hurts, and they can't get in there to find what nerves are exposed because it's been... So she's like, so this is what we got to do. So she puts in this thing... packs it, whatever, does it, and if it still hurts after 3 weeks, you have to go to, there's one guy in the metropolitan area who apparently has lasers that can go in and kind of take some of this stuff out, because you can't do it on your own, because it's the strongest material known to man or something.
So, wait, so I'm confused. The nerves might not be, like, at the bottom of the tooth. They might be, like, in the back of the tooth,
like,
or something like that.
She can't get far enough down there to see which ones are exposed, if they're still exposed, because it's calcified around it. Because
I've always wondered when they say that you've got a nerve that's... I've heard of this happening, mm-hmm. right? A nerve gets exposed. Why can't they put super glue over it? Sort of Bondo. Put Bondo over... If you don't know where it is, just cover the whole thing.
She's done.
Okay.
But she doesn't know if that's going to work. So if he doesn't have pain in 3 weeks, then he's basically given himself a root canal and it's covered the stuff, but some of it was exposed, so she filled the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
But she doesn't know how much is exposed for whatever reason, because it's calcified around the inside of his tooth. It's something called cementing or something, and, like, you know, actually, like, there's another dentist in there, and the other, so I'm explaining to you, and I shouldn't
sure,
be,
because sure.
there's another dentist. The dentist is like, what?
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, come in. So, like, she owns the whole place. She's like, I'm going to explain it to you, to the dental assistant and the other dentist. This is what's happening. They're all like, I have never seen this before. And she's like, yeah. No, it doesn't happen. I'm like, dude ground his teeth out of pure rage for his father.
Like, he's grinding them in his sleep, they think, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn. That
now
sucks.
We're going to bring the dental students to take pictures.
Exactly. So right. You never want that. No. You never want to be in the textbook.
Another dentist to be like, what?
Whoa, come take a look at this. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's bad. So let me ask you this. I know you already said the name of the place, so you don't have to give specifics. I have a rough idea what a root canal costs, since they couldn't do the root canal.
You don't want to know.
I just want to know, but today when you left, we're talking like this.
It was like you just looked at it and went, Jesus, man.
Man.
Payday's Friday, bro.
I'm thinking, what are we doing? That's
this thing's going to hurt on Thursday.
When
man.
Your kid says my tooth hurts, my thing would be like, well, that sucks. But there's nothing we can do about it, because it costs a fortune to do something about it. So I will help you put crazy glue on it.
Well, you
have to do it every couple days, but
you're just hoping that it's an infection or something. And
Yeah, and that they can give you antibiotics.
Right, they give you amoxicillin and, you know, get it settled down and whatever.
I can't even get in out of the door for less than a couple $100, though, like the whole thing. Because I think Brooke had her, 2 years ago, maybe she had that root canal. And I remember, it's like your insurance doesn't pay for it. Yeah. You know, they do them. It's not like you can go in there and haggle with the guy. It's like, oh, I do 100 of these a day. They cost the same. Okay, right, here's what you got to do. It's going to hurt this much. It's going to cost this much. And I'm just like, well... Yeah, I guess you got to do it. You don't really have a choice, because it just gets worse and worse, right?
Right.
It's not like one of those things you can ignore. Like, I have a neck problem, but I can ignore it and just be in pain. But I think with the root canal issue, from what I've heard at least, it can really get quite a bit worse, to the point where you can't sleep at night.
Absolutely. I mean, he went to eat spaghetti last night. He was like, ah!
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Well, here's to...
He's sleeping.
We'll keep our fingers crossed that he's given himself a successful root canal. The Church of Laszlo. So,
I don't know what you do. If you're out of money, you're just going to get out of money.
Yeah, if it's a cosmetic thing. Sorry, this is what we're still talking about, the tooth thing.
Yeah.
And people can join us at twitch.tv/churchlaszlo. That's I complain about money all the time. Not really just complain. I complain about how expensive everything has gotten.
Sure.
'Cause daily I'm amazed at prices of something where I go, wait, this can't be right. I can't believe this weekend I told Snowcone I went to get a tumbler like this. I was at Target getting groceries. I was like, oh, they got a whole aisle of them. The cheapest ones were like $30. And I'm not making this up. $45 seemed to be about the average for a cup. I know people, I'm tired of hearing me. I'm pissing in the wind here. But things are expensive. I don't have a kid. I have dogs. That can get kind of expensive.
Right.
They say, oh, your dog's got a limp. Yeah, it requires this one surgery. It's $5,000. And you go, okay, well, we're going somewhere else. And you go somewhere else, and they go, yeah, okay, it's $5,000.
Right.
You call your friend who's, you know, works at a vet, and like, that's how much it costs everywhere. So as a parent, I'm sure you do similar things when they say, hey, you know, your kid needs braces or Invisalign.
Yeah, right, sure.
I don't know. Is Invisalign just replaced braces now
for the most part? Yeah.
Okay, so they say your kid needs Invisalign. You start contacting other parents like, hey,
of course.
Where's a cheaper place? When am I allowed to say
and
no
like,
to this stuff?
Is this true? Like, you know, is that what Invisalign? I don't know.
Right.
What does Invisalign cost? You know what I mean? I have no idea.
And where do I draw the line? Is it just with what I can afford? You want your kids to be happy. I know that it's very common for good parents, at least, to go without if it means their kids can have more. That's certainly how my dad was. I'm sure your parents were the same way. I know your dad, Snow Cone, for sure, was one of those guys. But I wonder.
Just go.
Yes.
Not go without, just go. I like to just go.
You know, and he took him on some trips and stuff and made sure he had good life experiences as well. But yeah, I always wonder I just think about me now, if I had kids. And if we went to the dentist and they say Invisalign, what kind of conversation I have? Because what I don't want to do is have the conversation. I don't want to complain about money in front of my kids the way my parents did. Because that made me nervous as a kid.
Sure.
Right? I worried about them. I was always stressed for them. And I wish I hadn't known.
Sure.
Now, maybe it was good to have some awareness so I wasn't being a spoiled brat or whatever. But I kind of wish I hadn't known so much. So I feel like that is one thing. I wouldn't want to have my kids stressed out about money. But at the same time, when they say, yeah, I really want Invisalign, why can't I have it? I have to say, like, because it costs $8,000.
Right,
I don't have another thing to tell you. You know what I mean? I don't have another reason. And now I'm thinking, okay, I need to find a place where I call ahead and say, listen, when I come in there, I need you to tell my kid he doesn't need Invisalign. And they're like, yeah, I'll do that for $75. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there should be a whole business in that. Where do you draw the line? Health, you can't.
You don't.
With health,
like,
you can't.
Now they have, like credit companies for dental only.
Of course.
And so they run your credit, and if you have a decent credit score, then they'll pay the top price for Invisalign, and you pay them monthly at, you know, 27% or something.
Of course.
So that's how you do it.
Finance that, too. They might have been financing braces when we were kids. I don't know. Maybe some of those parents were getting monthly bills. I really don't know. But it is still a cosmetic thing, generally speaking. If your kid has an actual health concern, I understand, you got to get it taken care of. But when it comes to like...
Well, yeah, but it's like cosmetic, so your insurance doesn't cover it.
Right. That's
and
what I'm saying. So you...
You know, it's not like they're just going to do it anyway.
No, they're not.
Right?
Exactly.
It's like if your kid's sick, you know.
They'll probably do it.
Yeah, if you take them.
Might not get the
if you take them to Children's Mercy, they're not going to let them. They're going to be fine.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's going to go on your credit. It's going to be all kinds of problems that come with that, but.
There can be surgeries and stuff that you go, we can't really afford that even with our copays, whatever. So I understand that. But if it's cosmetic, that's for you. Like, you know, bad teeth is one thing. I had bad skin when I was a kid.
Right.
My mom took me to the doctor. I'm sure that cost a lot of money, all those trips to the dermatologist, not to mention all the medications. I know as an adult, when I started buying them, and I wasn't using as many, I was shocked because it's cosmetic or whatever. The insurance companies don't pay for it.
No.
Right? They're just like, yeah.
Yeah, now, I'm just going to have to pay for it. That's just where we're at.
And then the doctors try and find a way to say, look, it is medically necessary,
right?
That way you can try and get. But even if it's medically necessary, it's still going to cost you money because your insurance is only going to pay so much. Now, like you said, at least it'll get done because even if I don't pay the bill, it'll get done.
It'll get done.
Whereas I'm not so sure with the Invisalign. If you stop paying, they probably stop sending you the
new thing,
the mouth
guards. Because then you move in new ones
every
time. So I'm guessing they're like, although maybe they don't because you paid for it through the credit. It probably just goes on your credit.
Maybe I don't know. And then there's got to also be, you know, me. I would be looking up. okay, what are the cheaper versions? I think you and I already did this, though. We looked up, there's, I don't remember the name of it, but there's some sort of Invisalign competitor. There's probably more than one, but there's at least one. Remember, we were looking up like the Forbes side-by-side because one was significantly cheaper. I would definitely be the parent who's looking for the one that's not even on that list. You know what I mean? Right. Like Tom's.
Well, you know, they should be fixed in 4 to 6 months, so.
So is he doing it?
Well, we haven't decided yet.
You just got to try and subtly get those messages across, like, man, you know, how dorky is Invisalign? Did you notice that kid's Invisalign?
Well, that's the other thing. I'm like, all right, so he's got Invisalign. He's just turned 14. Is he going to really wear it all the time?
Nope.
Right, so now I'm in for seven grade. He's going to lose them. Like, I can just... Also, I turn it to my father.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would lose my retainer. He'd be what in the Sam hell?
And we understand why now.
$40 million. He lost it. I'm like, yeah, I took it out at lunch and left it on the table. I don't know.
Yeah. If a kid can remove this thing, then... And I don't know how Invisalign works, but if they can pop those things out on their own, then, yeah, he's absolutely going to lose it.
Right.
So, I mean, braces, I guess you couldn't take off.
Right.
But also, how many kids did you know who had braces when they were kids? Maybe had braces for a long time. I don't know. But had braces, and you look at them now, and you're like, I don't think your teeth look any different.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it helps. I don't know, but I knew a lot of people.
I think Invisalign works pretty well, people say, so.
And you don't want to be the parent who says, I probably could find a way to make this work.
Well, there is other ways, you know what I mean? And they tell you that. Like, there are other ways. Like, there are, you know, you don't have to get too far, but there's cosmetic dentistry where they, you know, his teeth are fine. They're not.
That's my thing. I've never noticed that either of your boys have bad teeth.
But there's a little bit of spaces in his where there aren't, you know, on my other boy, they're like, well, you know, other dentists will be like, well, we can just fill that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we can just fill the first three on either side, and boom, you're done. You're out in a day.
That's what I always wondered with lots of that teeth. Why can't you just, same with teeth whitening, why can't you just paint? Why can't you paint my teeth white? I don't understand. And if I've got gaps in my teeth, if one tooth is pushed back, then why can't you just basically sculpt and then have a fat tooth? You know,
right, yeah.
I remember asking one time, the dentist was like, well, yeah, but then you'd have like a fat tooth. I'm like, only I would know that, though.
Right, exactly.
Like, who cares? I don't know. Does it make chewing more difficult? Like, you just can't be the parent who says,
no,
you can't have any of this stuff because it's all cosmetic. You can, and you could be a parent who actually can't qualify for the credit and all that stuff. But to just say, like, we could find a way to get it done, I just really don't want to. So instead, what you do is you go to bed at night and you hope, like now you hope that your kid doesn't complain about his tooth hurting anymore. Your other kid doesn't complain about his tooth hurting anymore.
Yeah, because, and we'll figure out a way to get this other kid his Invisalign. I'll figure it out. It is, like, that's the other thing. Like, I don't know if it's just a guy thing or if it's a parent thing. You're just like, well, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's what I told him. Like, I'll figure it out. Thing. You got to go back in 6 months. That's when they said they wanted, you know, a little bit more time to, you know, your jaw is still moving or whatever. So we'll go back in 6 months, and if they say you still need it, then we'll just figure it out. We'll get it. If I got to get it on credit, I'll get it on credit, whatever.
I'm sure that's a parent thing. I will say, I think that my mom was much more likely to just say, oh, he needs this, do it, go ahead and do it. Whereas my dad was like, let's ask and see if he needs this. We'll get a second opinion. So my dad was more likely to do that, where my mom was like, just go ahead, give him whatever it is. And when they say, okay, we got the gold, the silver, and the bronze treatment, she's like, give him the gold.
Right, yeah.
You know, and my dad was like, what's wrong with bronze?
Right.
But he wanted you to have it. But it's just, he was a little more skeptical about, does he really need all this stuff? Because when it comes to unexpected expenses in life, there's like those things that you think of, and I don't know why, but like your car's transmission going out, and we just had this conversation earlier with our boss talking about transmissions for some reason, but your car's transmission going out, that's one of the things that since you're a teenager, you hear about, you think about, it's happened to everybody at some point, where you're driving along and suddenly you can feel it going, and like, yeah, you're going to have to replace it. So you have to make that decision. It used to cost like
$2,500, but you know, it's the same price as your monthly baseball.
Right.
So why don't you just go over and play at the Jewish Community Center? It's like $20 all in. Like, you know, but you want to be that guy who makes him choose? Like, you don't. So you just try to figure it out.
And you don't want to complain. You don't want to complain about money.
You know, baseball is 2 car payments.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. And then a root canal is, I don't even know.
Now you have 5 car payments, you know?
Yep. I think that's the thing that I need to work on. And the reason that people say I bitch about how much stuff costs is just I need to, like, figure out how to adjust my thinking to raise the prices of all things. I'm still stuck in my old ways. I'm stuck in my 20s or whatever it was with these ideas of, okay, transmission's $3,000. You know, this costs this much. A root canal is $500, whatever it was. That's not the case anymore. And they can say that inflation, you can go to the government's inflation calculator. You can put in, okay, how much, you know, was this in 1985? How much was it now? And they'll tell you how much inflation has gone up. Yet there are still a lot of things that have risen well beyond the average rate of inflation. And you just have to get used to that. And so I have to be prepared when I take my kid to the dentist and they say, hey, it's root canal. I go, oh, I know those are like $700. I'm like, no, they're like $4,000.
Right.
And you just have to go, all right.
Well, they're not that bad, but it is enough.
I don't know.
You look at the bill and you go, okay.
Well, even if there was nothing wrong, if you took your kid, if your kid's like, my tooth hurts, we need to go to the dentist. If you go to the dentist and they're like, yeah, you know, we took a look around, it looks like it should be okay, you know, I don't know, maybe I put a little glue back there or whatever. You just expect that even if all goes well, I'm not really, because at least like me with the dogs going to the vet, I know that it's going to cost a few $100. I can't get out of there without paying a few $100. Like, I know that. So that's not nothing. So when you wake up in the morning, you weren't planning on spending $300.
And, you know, like, look, I make good money. I'm not complaining. I make more money than, you know, people, and I do well. But it's like, you know, you kind of got this planned out.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, well, I paid like, you know, this week on Friday, I was behind on one of their baseball payments.
Yeah.
So I'm like, sweet, I got the extra money, let me just pay 4 months. Boom, 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 boom. And then Monday's like, my tooth hurts. I'm like, gee, just tell me Friday, man.
Right.
Because I'd have just paid one payment on the... All right. But it's not like I'm not mad at him. It's not like he's like, well, I didn't know. Like, of course you didn't know.
Of course. Right. But you know now, or you try to know now, that if you do find yourself in a position between one of those pay periods where you're like, you know what? I can afford to pay this stuff.
Yeah.
And not only that, I'm not 100% broke. Like,
exactly.
I'm not going to have to.
That's
I'm not going to pay
Monday, I was like, oh, I got money. I'm good.
You know, to be cautiously
right.
pleased about that, right?
Right.
It's like, okay.
That because it's coming.
Good. Because something
like,
is.
Your kid's going to come home and be like, my tooth hurts. And you're like, you're kidding me, man.
Your car's not going to get out of first gear on the way home.
And I was going to try to, well, whatever. I was going to, you know, a coffee date this morning with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a dentist.
Yeah.
That hurts more than the money.
Yeah, I'll bet it does.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Hey, are we going to do news or not?
Yes, we're going to. Why wouldn't we do news today?
Well, I don't know where we were. I knew we were going to do it. I just didn't know what was coming now.
Yeah, it's coming up next. You know, plenty to talk about. Well, there's some stuff to talk about. The main stuff is the main stuff. It's been the main stuff now for a few days. I don't know. I saw today's an interesting stat. They said it was right around a third, but it was slightly under. So I think it was maybe like 29%, something like that, said they don't care about the stock market or how it's performing. And I thought, I'd like to talk to those people a little bit more. Like, I think maybe they do. Maybe they meant like they don't have stocks personally invested, or they're not day traders. Like, maybe they misunderstood the question.
Because
I got to think that a third of America, it can't be that high of a number of Americans that don't care about whether or not the economy does well, right? Which is basically what I think of when I think of the stock market. If it does badly enough, then the economy
is bad. I think there should be a rule where, like, if the government, whether you're right or left, doesn't matter. So, like, if you're on the right, let's just say you're on the right, and Biden or Clinton's trying something crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where, you know, there's, like, this divided, like, that's not going to work. Yes, it's going to work. Not something that's totally agreed upon, right? And because of that, there's a loss of a certain amount of money in the stock market. Say it's 10%, whatever it is. The stock market loses 10%, then as people, we should be able to pull our 401k with no penalty.
Yeah, no kidding. That'd be nice.
Like, hey, like, all right, you know what?
Love Clinton,
you want to print more money and whatever it is you did in the 90s, and you know what? The stock market's taking a hit, right? Or Carter, or on this, you know, Trump, you want to tie tariffs with the stock? All right, if you're right, then, and the people who believe in you are going to keep it all in there because they're about to get rich.
Let it ride.
And the people who don't, like, we can take our money off that table.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'd just be like, yo, I lost $30,000 in my 401k. Give it to me now. I just take it.
Yeah.
Put it back in maybe later, maybe not. If the stock market loses because of something the government did, and it loses whatever that number is, 10%, you should be able to pull it. Right off the blackjack table. Like, I'm out.
Yeah, I did
see. You just changed the rules. You changed the rules in the middle of this card game.
Right.
They're like, no, it's not 21, it's 22. I'm like, no. They're like, but 22 is better for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but you know what? I'm out because I don't think 22 is better for me. They're like, but it is. And the people are like, no, 22 is better for you. It's going to be uncomfortable for a little bit, but we're about to make a lot more money because of these tariffs. And by the way, I don't know if we will or we won't. I have no idea. I'm not an economist. I don't even really know how to spell tariff. I don't know if it's two S, two R's. Don't know.
There's a double something in there.
But what I'm saying is you should be able to keep it or let it ride when, because of some action of the government, the stock market crashes by 10% or more. I'm not saying you should be able to do that. Because we were attacked by terrorists or something. Right now, yeah. Hey, you
or
know,
COVID,
you don't get, you don't get or COVID, yeah. You don't get to pull it for that. But, you know, if
a big move.
Right.
Big move's coming.
Something that's going to work one way or the other, I should be able to pull my stuff. No penalty.
Well, if you know that it is big. I mean, this is a big enough deal that Congress has said, like, well, maybe we should take this power away from the president. And so they're doing this whole thing. I heard it's just going to be, you know, for looks, though, because Trump's still got enough support. But you do look at, and it's not the first time. I mean, look, this has been a criticism for presidents as long as I can remember. It's been a criticism I really started hearing under Obama and since then, right? Obama, Trump, and Biden, that the presidents use the executive orders, and basically the president has too much power. And right. I don't know if that was something that people complained about in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Yeah, it's like just exponentially
gets smaller. Our kid says slippery slope. You could then do the same for bad company decisions you're invested in. You can. If I have my if I put money in the stock market in Apple and they're like, hey, we hired this new dude, his name's SlimFast, and be like, give me my money back.
Right.
Like, why can't I? The only thing that we can't pull it out of without a penalty is our 401ks, right? Or our IRA, whatever, right? Like, but if I'm just invested singularly in Odyssey,
yeah,
I can pull it.
Yeah,
one I've never been able to pull it is that Blockbuster you made me buy. Where they're like, too bad.
Well, that's what we have here, right? You got these major fluctuations and this big sell off. People are selling off stocks, saying, "I don't like this. I do not like it. I don't think it's going to work." So you see this big decline, and the Dow and the whatever Nasdaq numbers decreasing over the last, I guess, 3 days now.
Right.
That's people selling off, right? I mean, to help me understand if I'm wrong. Right. That's people saying, I don't think this is going to work. Exactly. I'm selling off. But because I'm invested indirectly through a 401k, I'm not a day trader, I can't just like say, hey, let's take that money out.
No.
I want to sell and cash out.
You can't without a penalty. And now maybe some people can a certain amount and for certain reasons, and it depends on your plan. And I suggest
and
you call them, and I'm not a financial analyst. But I know for ours, the one that we have,
yeah,
you can't.
No,
because I have called before and been like, yo, give me that money. And they're like, no.
Right, basically.
Like, what do you mean, no?
It's not really yours.
Like, well, whose is it? Where is it? Like, well, no. But you can take a loan.
Yeah.
Well, how much can I take a loan for? Up to this amount.
Yep.
And then pay it back, but you can't have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you got to pay back that loan with interest under a certain amount of time, which is nice. It's something.
Sure.
Something. But I can't say, you
but
know what, I like
that.
Sometimes
you can take it under a certain amount with no interest. You just pay it back.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. I like this idea. I think you should propose it. But you know what? Maybe this whole thing will work out. I don't know. I'll tell you what people are saying today here in a minute when we do the news.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo.
The news.
Mm-hmm.
So, yesterday, did we talk about RFK yesterday? Oh, yeah, because he was talking, he put on social media, he said you should get a measles vaccine. So he's promoting vaccines, which was kind of a surprise. But RFK's in the news again because RFK has now written a letter to the FDA, whatever. We already knew he wanted to do this, but he's making it official that he wants to ban fluoride in water nationally across the board. And he's asked that the FDA go ahead and get
the
that
fight
down.
Over fluoride in
or
drinking
CDC,
water on full blast. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. doubling down on his calls to ban the mineral from public water supplies.
And the era of fluoridated toothpastes and mouthwashes, it makes no sense to have fluoride in our water.
He plans to direct the CDC to stop recommending fluoride in drinking water nationwide. The mineral has been widely added to water in the U.S. since the 1940s, preventing cavities, reducing oral health disparities, and saving money for everyone, according to the CDC.
So there you go.
CDC said it's like one of the greatest American health initiatives in history or something like that. Right. I don't know. But he says, hey, you heard him.
No, stop my kid from needing Invisalign or root canals. I'm all for it.
Well, you're all for having the fluoride?
Or not having it. Tell me whichever one it is. Don't care.
I think the fluoride would help.
The fluoride didn't help.
But true.
There I am.
He might be drinking a lot of bottled water. Like, you know, if he drank a little more tap water, maybe that would have helped. I don't know.
True. I do keep bottled water in there.
You keep a lot of bottled water around. Yeah. And as an athlete, I'm sure he grabs those bottles, bottled water, and doesn't fill a bottle from the tap. Yeah. So there you go. Maybe that could be part of the problem. Mm. They say if you don't drink water, tap water, that what you should do is, and I already do this, but I think some people, when they brush, they rinse with water and spit out the... They say if you don't drink a lot of water, brush your teeth. You can spit the excess toothpaste out, but don't rinse out. Just let that toothpaste kind of sit on your teeth and wait. I think they said 45 minutes before you eat or drink anything else, and then, you know, maybe that'll help. Teeth seem to be, and we're talking a lot about teeth today, but teeth seem to be, that's a very genetic thing. Like, the fact that there's four boys in my family. I have three older brothers. None of us ever had braces or anything. I've never had a cavity. So that's not... because I do such a great job taking care of my teeth. It seems to be a genetic thing. But I did read something where they talked about there are parts of the country, like I think Portland got rid of fluoride. And somewhere else, maybe in Utah they just did or they're wanting to in some part of Utah. But you know, I think in Portland they got rid of it, which is a good example of how, you know, things like this used to be kind of liberal things. You know, vaccines are bad, and now it's become a little bit flipped. But according to these dentists online, I don't know if it's true or not, that they are starting to see some of the... you know, problems that arise when you take fluoride out of water. I'm very skeptical only because, not that fluoride works, but only because I just think, how much tap water do people drink? Does it count if it's in there because you cooked with it? Like, if I boil it, does that get rid of it?
No, probably not.
That's what I would think. I don't know. Anyway, you know, the CDC says it works. RFK says it makes you dumber. And he's got a study that he'll show you if you're interested. South Korea was just firing on soldiers from North Korea like a couple hours ago. So hopefully everything's okay. Don't know what was going on. But I think they said at least 10 soldiers.
DMZ?
Yeah, 10 soldiers were running across the border. They were sounding alarms and firing at these guys. And eventually they went back. But... at least right before we went on the air, when I looked this up, they said they still don't know exactly what was going on.
South Korea's military fired warning shots after 10 North Korean soldiers crossed the border into South Korea. South Korean officials say the soldiers violated the military demarcation line. They say that the soldiers all returned to the north side of the border after the South made warning broadcasts and fired shots. The motive for today's border crossing by the North, not immediately clear.
I just assume that it's people trying to escape into South Korea.
But
doesn't that happen?
South Korea usually tries to help you escape them.
That's kind of what I thought, too. The fact that there was 10 means
it's probably not
there's those videos of like they start running. And only the North is the one that
South
shoots at their own soldiers,
back,
right?
They felt threatened, which means they probably weren't trying to cross.
So what were they doing?
I don't know.
That seems bad.
In fact, there's 10 of them.
That seems bad.
It couldn't
just be 10 guys that are like, hey, strength in numbers. Let's just all go at the same time. You know, that way if two of us get shot, there's a chance it's not
just
me.
It's very unlikely.
Because you see those videos of those North Korean soldiers running across the border.
All 10 of
and
them
South Koreans will try and help.
Yeah.
But the North Koreans will fire at their own. Yeah. That means if you really need an indicator of which side you want to live in,
right.
The one that shoots you, and I know one of the presidents said that, right, about the Berlin Wall. Like, you shouldn't, you know, the side that says, here, we're going to build a wall to keep you in, not a great selling point. Now, Laszlo would disagree with me, I know. Maybe he just means, I think Laszlo might just think that North Korea seems like a good deal for an American.
It seems like a good deal. I don't know.
But as for maybe if you were Korean, and you had to choose between living in North Korea or South Korea, then maybe you choose South Korea then, right? And you're giving me a look.
I'm sure I'd get the same propaganda. They'd be like, look, the South Korean guy wants to live here, I'm sure.
Oh, so you're saying if you were born in South Korea, you could
go over to North Korea. I'd have to live in capitalism, try to figure out how to get a job.
North Korea, just get
an apartment and rice and get to go fish with old guys. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, so there you go. Laszlo says, not so fast.
I think the only time you wouldn't want to be in North Korea, I guess, is if you were born in North Korea.
Yeah, because then they can't. use you for propaganda.
You're not used to them.
Time to get out of there.
Right.
So, but if you left and then you came back,
because you said it was better, maybe,
look,
you might be able to negotiate.
He came back. He left and he saw what the world looked like, and he decided
go back and tell him it's horrible.
Yeah, he decided it's better to be here. He came back. And now he's making movies. Florida beat Houston. I don't know how much money Leslo won on this, if he won any at all. I don't know if you guys watched the game. I'm curious how the ratings were, but I'm sure by now everybody knows.
National championship is in the balance. Florida leads it by 2. 6 seconds. 5 seconds. Short. He walked. He can't touch it. He can't. 1 second.
Okay, I heard something. Somebody was talking about this game on one of the sports things. Assume it was the sports. I don't know. One of the sports stations or a podcast or something. They're talking about how much college basketball has changed now because of the money involved, and that now you will have these teams that basically continue to be great teams, and they dominate. And these other teams that used to be able to make a splash won't be able to make a splash as often because they don't have the money to pay good players to come pay at their school. Didn't we already have those teams that, at least in my lifetime, it felt like those, we had a name for it and everything.
Yeah.
And is this something that you've heard people debating, talking about? Like, it does feel like college basketball has felt differently anecdotally to me, just because in this part of the country, there's so many KU fans. And with KU,
well, I think what they're saying is, like, you used to be able to get those teams that, say, before the transfer portal, you could get like a guy who maybe he wasn't good enough to go to Florida, right?
Okay.
Or, you know, they didn't think he was, but then after 2 or 3 years, he is, and now you've got this smaller team with seniors who have all played together, but now if Florida's like, oh damn, we missed on Slim Fast. He is a great point guard. Well, just go pay him. He'll come here.
Okay.
Like, he doesn't have to stay there anymore. So, like, you know, I saw them doing the...
So the transfer portal had more to do with it than...
With the money that you can pay him, right? Like, Michigan went from... I use them just because I follow them. They went from last in the Big Ten to the Sweet 16 with a new coach who paid, like, you know, a dude from Yale and some guys from his old school to come with him. And then all of a sudden, you know, you turn around pretty quick. You can do it if you've got the money. But if you don't have the money, then you're not getting a lot of guys on the transfer portal.
Okay. It does feel like the, and I know KU lost early, MU lost early, so maybe that's all there was to it. It has felt like the last couple of years, March Madness is, you just hear fewer people talking about it. I kind of notice it a little bit less. Maybe just you guys. I mean, Snowcone used to be a huge KU fan, and now he seems to not watch the games really
KU
at all.
Well, KU and Missouri losing in the first round, certainly
that hurts.
Locally here, people talk about it.
That hurts.
I've just kind of fallen out of it recent years, but yeah.
And that's just you. So that doesn't mean that a lot of people have.
Huge.
And I don't know, with Laszlo, I'm guessing it has a lot to do with how Michigan's doing that year. So, and I don't know, is Michigan State usually the better basketball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Typically. Overall.
Uh-huh.
And Michigan the better football team, like that's kind of how that works.
Yeah.
But Michigan can have a great basketball team.
And Michigan State can be good at football every once in a while. But as a whole, I would say Michigan State is known for the basketball.
Kind of what they're known for. But, like, how much college basketball did you watch this March? And I guess
I watched
April.
Every Michigan game.
That's it.
And then I watched some Michigan games throughout the regular season when they were, when I was like, oh man, I won like 20 games. I should tune in. I don't know who these guys are.
Yeah. I know, I heard somebody saying after the KU game, they were like, I didn't even know that the KU game was on. Was it you guys who were talking about? Like, maybe it was you, Snowcone. You're like, I didn't even realize.
I didn't know they were on.
Forgot that it was on. No. You were watching something else.
I didn't watch any March Madness.
It's the kind of thing where it used to be, especially in my neighborhood, you would hear people cheering, screaming, whatever, crying, just from the bars, being out at the bars.
Yeah.
And that's why I always hoped that KU, even though I'm not a KU fan necessarily, I was hoping that they'd do well because I thought it was good for business and it was nice to hear people around. And I obviously have a ton of friends who are KU fans. My neighbors are KU fans. So, but when MU and KU lost, it was like, well, now what? It does still feel like a college basketball town, but maybe just because KU has not been
Yeah.
As dominant. Good, if they turn around, you know, if next year they're great, then I'm sure it'll feel like it did in the past. And I've seen, I know that I'm wrong at least, a little bit about my anecdotal evidence, because last year the ratings, I didn't see the ratings yet, but last year ratings
there was
were
a lot of upsets this year.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Those kind of storybook stories.
And I think all four was, you know, the final four is all number one seeds, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear people saying this was the best year for brackets because, you know. The teams that you thought were going to win, won.
Pretty much won.
Yep. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and I'll tell you the rest of what's going on.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo! All right, what do you got?
All right. Well, did you get rich yet?
No.
Because I saw the stock market rebounded some.
It did?
And still, they said it's still been rough, but you're more of the investor type. You know more about that stuff. You have to tell me how to log into my 401k every time I have questions about it.
That doesn't make me an expert.
Well, it makes you the expert here. I mean, you did work as a stock trader or something.
I did.
Broker.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So that would definitely make you the expert here. I mean, a lot of people are losing money. I suppose maybe most people. I don't know. There are CEOs. Yesterday we talked about this rumor that CEOs were scared to come out on their own and speak out against these tariffs because they didn't want Trump to be mad at them. So maybe they were going to write a letter together. I didn't see anything today about the letter, but I did see that some of the CEOs have started to come out now and discuss some of their concerns.
Most CEOs I talk to would say we are probably in a recession right now.
Whoa. A new CNBC survey showing those concerns are widespread, with 69% of CEOs expecting a recession and 82% expecting resurgent inflation. Pershing Square CEO Bill Ackman, a Trump supporter, warning we're heading for a self-induced economic nuclear winter. And Virgin's Richard Branson tweeting yesterday, this is the moment to own up to a colossal mistake and change course. Otherwise, America will face ruin for years to come.
Ruin?
What is he doing?
I don't believe it. He's not even American.
He's not even American. Thank you. And didn't he try and start a airline or something?
Yeah, trying to, you know, go to Mars.
Yeah, that's
couldn't.
Right. That's
Elon
right.
beat him.
That's right. He was going to take tourists.
I like winners.
To space.
I like the guys who actually send rocket ships up that work.
Exactly. And plus, look, Trump has said over and over again, like, you know, it's a sick patient. It needs some medicine. Just give it a little bit of time to heal. It's not like he's going, whoa, I wasn't expecting any of this. He knew that the stock market was going to get crazy. He warned us about this, I think, or at least when it started, he told us, hey, there's going to be some growing pangs here.
Yesterday, the Dow had its largest point swing ever in a single day. The S&P has lost about $6 trillion in value since the tariff announcement last Wednesday. That's one of the worst three-day dollar losses in the history of the index. Now, this morning, President Trump is threatening an additional 50% tariff on China if the country does not withdraw its retaliatory tariff on the U.S. That would effectively bring total tariffs on China to more than 100%. Americans can start expecting prices to go up on things like fresh produce within a week. For cars, it could be a month. And for appliances and clothing, expect that increase in the next 4 to 6 months.
Okay, now that was from this morning. CNBC.
Well, I see now you said it was rebounded, but it says as of 19 minutes ago, Dow sinks 300 points.
Yeah. I think it was down a lot more at one point. So, as you know, it's
closed lower today than when it started.
Yes, so it's not been.
So I think you're wrong.
Well, yes, no, it's not. We've not made money. It's just that it did fluctuate a little bit instead of just going straight down this time. It they said regained some of the losses, but still closed a pretty significant loss. And that guy's saying that it would essentially make this tariff against China over 100% if this were to happen. CNBC says right now, this is the headline, U.S. to raise tariffs on Chinese imports to 104% on April 9th amid this intensifying trade war. So, I mean, that's from, let's see, 2.5 hours ago on CNBC. So more recent than that audio I just played you. So I guess it's going to be 104% tariff on China because they tried to, well, they retaliated. They did exactly what Trump told him not to do. And so now people are asking Trump, hey, maybe we pause some of these tariffs. Maybe, are you really going to keep these things around? Is this, you know, for negotiating? And all these questions that they've been asking every day for the last however many weeks. And he says, I'm not looking to pause tariffs.
With President Trump's next round of escalatory tariffs set to go into effect at midnight, the president insists that despite rattled markets and recession fears, he's not considering hitting the pause button. European officials offer to eliminate their tariffs on American-made cars and industrial goods if the U.S. will do the same in return. Despite the market suffering their worst days since the start of the pandemic, the president says he's unfazed by short-term financial pain.
I don't mind going through it because I see a beautiful picture at the end.
You don't mind going through it.
I was going to say, it's a poor choice of words there. Like, I don't mind going through it. Like, okay, but maybe you're, you know, built to handle it a little better than some of us, so to speak. I mean, I don't know. When does it, if they say that stat I read you, I think off the air earlier, 28% of Americans say they don't care about the stock market. When do they start to care? It's when stuff gets more expensive, right? It's when they lose their job. If they lose their job, they care. If they can't find work, they care. If they can't afford stuff, they care.
It's stuff that you just notice.
Yeah, that's when they notice it. If
gas,
they're talking about the stock
market. Eggs. Like, I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, I know we're crazy.
We talked about eggs so much.
But, right.
Yeah.
It's stuff that when you go into the store, you're like, sweet Christ.
Right.
I can't afford this.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Gas, last I heard, was up about 10 cents nationally.
It's just stuff that everybody needs that you can't avoid. That's when we notice it. You won't notice it if TVs go up because you're like, I'm not going to buy a TV.
Right.
They're expensive. When's the last time you looked at one? Right.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
you look at it, you're like, ah, too expensive, whatever. You're not going to really notice it. It'll be the stuff that, you know, like, you know, they talked about in Eisenhower's days, the cost of milk. You know, that's when Americans notice.
The necessities. I heard someone say yesterday, well, this percentage of Americans are on a fixed income. So when Christmas time comes around and they got to buy toys, the toys come from China. This is the whatever the tariff, the taxes on those. They said with these tariffs, then they'll be buying whatever it was, 4% fewer toys, you know. And I thought, okay, yes, but that's not like the best example in my opinion. I'm with you. It's more the direct everyday stuff. When you see gas prices go up, we saw how people freaked out about eggs.
Mm-hmm.
They say that the first thing that's going to go up, that's already starting to go up, is produce. So, you know, as that stuff that you buy regularly, sometimes daily, but weekly, semi-weekly, whatever, that's the stuff that people notice. They said, another guy was saying that farmers are the ones who get hit first. But it really seems to depend on who you ask, because I've heard them say all kinds of different things about who gets hit by this. I heard somebody saying it was literally the CEOs. And speaking of the CEOs, you know, now some of them have started to come out. I played you clips of a few of them there speaking out against these tariffs. If you look at how much money they've lost, and I'm sure you've seen some of these charts or articles about this, it's pretty incredible. Like, they've lost a lot of money. Money that I can't comprehend. We're talking billions and billions. But that's in stock values. It's different than if I say Lazo lost this much money. That means that someone took it out of your bank account.
Exactly.
And now you don't have it.
I lost it gambling.
Right.
I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
And while you don't have that anymore, it's really not a realized loss until you sell it.
Right.
That's the truth.
It is kind of different.
It is.
You're always
talking
about stock values.
You're like, I got 8,000 shares of Apple, and it's down 20%. Well, I only lose that 20% if I sell it at a loss of 20%. Like, that's the truth. I know people don't, you know, you don't necessarily want to think about that, but it's true. So when you look at your portfolio, you're down, but you haven't sold it yet.
Yeah.
If you sell it at that 20% loss, then you've lost it. You haven't lost it yet.
Same with the billionaires. You know, I understand it makes a much better headline to say he lost $44 billion.
Well, it's like if I have, you know, if I sit down at a poker table with $1,000 and I just lost a hand at $250, well, yeah, I've lost the $250, but I'm not done playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And I'm done playing if I cash out the rest of that and I walk out with $800.
Right.
Or $750 or whatever that number is.
They're done out because we're not stockbrokers
right.
or traders.
But you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. Yes.
Right.
It's that's why I say, if I say Lazo lost this money, if you say Snow Cone lost this much money, it means he had the money, he lost it. When they say billionaires lost this much money, it means their stock
is down. I have told you
people
how to get through this recession or these tariffs or whatever the hell we're in, inflation. Bet on the White Sox to lose.
Dude, it's
easy money. Bet on the White Sox to lose.
Just look at how much, if you do have investments in the stock market, like a 401k, take a look at it. How much are you down? Well, you know, start investing that money directly into a sports gaming app. Now, Laszlo's not a financial advisor.
$100 every time on the White Sox lose. If they win, double it.
Yep. And if they win twice in a row,
double it.
You got to double it again.
But you'll be fine.
I mean, I don't know, what was their longest win streak last year? Wasn't it?
They never won more than one.
Oh, they never had a two-game.
Right, you never had to do it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and they're still not good this year. It's been working out for you so far. So
I'm telling
you, follow Laszlo's advice.
Just do it.
But there is one guy. Bloomberg looked at the 15. I don't know if they're the richest, but they took 15 billionaires. The people that we know a lot of their names, and they looked at how much money they've all lost since the beginning of the year. So I guess it's supposed to be roughly since Trump took office, just what type of a year they've had. And there's one billionaire, Laszlo, who didn't lose money. There's one billionaire who made money in the last couple months. Who do you think that is? No, he's lost a fortune.
I don't know then.
Warren Buffett.
Oh, that guy.
Warren Buffett was the only guy in green on this Bloomberg list showing a gain in wealth, like I think $11.5 billion.
Warren Buffett continues to have that Midas touch. So there is an annual Bloomberg Billionaires Index that's out. And we took a look at that. And of the top 15 billionaires, Warren Buffett is the only one to have actually made money during all of this market mayhem, making about $11.5 billion since the beginning of the year. Hefty losses, though, for Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and of course Elon Musk, still the wealthiest person in the world, but he lost a lot of money over the past few days. His stock in Tesla down more than 40% since the start of the year. We know that company has been going through it.
Okay, so Warren Buffett made money. You heard her mention Jeff Bezos. How much do you think he's lost on this, according to this Bloomberg thing?
I don't know.
$42.6 billion. He's down $42.6 billion. A number that, I know I say this every time, but it was really not a number that was thrown around when I was a kid. Certainly not like, hey, this guy lost $42 billion, but don't worry, he's fine. He's still very rich. But yeah, Bezos lost $42.6 billion, according to them. Zuckerberg lost $24.5 billion. So, you know, it's a lot. But again, like we said, it's not like he goes to his bank account and he's like, what the? Wait a second.
Well, I'm sure he looks at it when it gets to the
billion. I'm sure he's not happy. Sure he's not happy that his stock is down. Right, but it's not the end of the world for
I'd also say if you were betting $100, like I said, on the White Sox to lose using the Martingale system, you'd be up 800 right now.
Starting with what bet?
$100
each time? Okay.
Be up 800.
So start with 100. And that's what you've been doing over there?
Yeah.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby. $800. Well, so, you know, Trump says fine. He's the president, so I'm a patriot. You know that. You're a patriot. You fought for this country.
I did.
So I think, well whatever, whether this is good or bad, if it is bad.
Navy veteran.
And you got the hat to prove it.
I do. You bought it for me.
Got the hat to prove it.
For Christmas.
So we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. Right? You've survived the war. You can survive a few rounds of tariffs and a slight dip in your 401k. You know what's funny is, I do remember when Trump won this time.
Mm-hmm.
People saying, like, people who didn't like Trump, they're like, and didn't vote for him. But you hear someone's like, well, you know, I guess, you know, it won't hurt my 401k. Businesses like him, you know, because as soon as he got elected, crypto and all that stuff, the stock market like surged on news of his victory. And now you're going through this. Yeah.
That night.
Yeah.
Because Elon Musk is like, I'm opening a Doge.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's no coincidence.
You'd think it can't lose.
Right.
What
about? Guy's talking about it all the time.
What if you'd bought Trump coin the night of his election?
You would have made a lot of money.
If you bought it after
he got out pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay. So most Republicans, though, are still backing Trump and saying, like, hey, you know, some of them are a little hesitant to answer questions now, but just saying, like, hey, let the president do his thing. I did see Ted Cruz on a podcast, and he was saying that maybe the tariffs could be bad, it seems like.
If the outcome from these tariffs is really high tariffs from every country on earth against American goods, and really high tariffs from America against goods from every other country on earth, that is going to be really bad for Texas and really bad for America.
Well, isn't that what's happening?
I thought that was what was happening. So 104% tariff now. According to CNBC on Chinese goods.
I know that Chinese, whatever he is, dictator. He said, you know, he'd fight to the death over this.
Yeah, Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
No, but, you know, he's got a lead, right?
Well, I don't know, but I just don't want him to do that. I want him to just acquiesce to Trump so we can make some money.
I told you, Bezos, $42.6 billion, supposedly down. Zuckerberg, $24.5 billion. I found Elon's. Elon is down $135 billion. He's down $135 billion, still the richest man in the world.
No.
Think about that. Yeah, no, down $135 billion, still the richest man in the world.
Man, X pays.
I know. It's a good business.
The Church of Laszlo.
You're a pretty hip guy. You work at a radio station.
Sure, look at me.
You stay up on trends. Right?
Of course.
You know what's going on. And you got kids. That helps. The teenagers.
I made it myself.
Yeah.
With my wiener.
Yeah. There was someone else involved, right? But.
I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you did it. You did it. Right.
They started in my
balls. They started with you.
In my balls.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Well, I don't want to say they end with you, but. They're your kids. You're proud of them, and they're teenagers. And because you're so close, that helps you to stay hip. What they came out of your balls?
Don't look at my balls.
So it's a thing to think about. You know, I don't remember my dad ever mentioning his balls to me. So I don't remember having a moment where I had to picture my dad's balls while we were looking at each other. I did walk by one time and see him peeing, and he left the door cracked. I didn't know anyone was in there, and I saw his wiener.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was after we'd stopped showering together. I mean,
so when you're 20?
Yeah, we showered together when I was little, but I don't really remember that. I have vague memories, but this was like I was a teenager and I walked
by. Trying to conserve water?
I don't know. Didn't you say you showered with your dad too?
One time.
Oh, just once?
One time in my life.
I don't know why that's.
I think something was wrong. Like the other bathroom was broken. He had to get to work and I had to go to school. And I was little. He's like, well, just jump in here, goddammit. And that was it.
Maybe it was to save water. I don't know. I'm pretty sure my brother's did, but I've heard other people say that, too. Because it was the kind of thing that when I was young, I know I was kind of embarrassed. Like, I used to shower with my dad. Why did we do that? It was like, should I report this to an adult? You know, and then I'd hear other friends talk about it. Like, when they were little, they, you know, get in the shower with their dad. I don't know. I don't know why. It could have been to conserve water. But the point is, you have kids. You're close with them. They help keep you hip.
I've never showered with them.
You've always been a hip person. You don't shower with them.
Never have.
But you do try and stay somewhat current on trends. And wouldn't you say that you've never really given up on being a fan of music, loving music,
sure,
and wanting to find new music if it's out there?
Sure.
Yeah. What a great feeling. But so do you think that you have reduced your time spent searching for that music a little bit, at least over the years?
To some degree. In some degree, no.
No? Okay.
Because, I mean, it's easy. If you have, I don't know if you have Spotify or you have Apple Music, I can just put on, like, latest releases and kind of go through it real quick.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm really searching for it or trying to find it. It's just like, all right, well, I'll listen to all these. All right, great. That was 30 songs. I didn't like any of them.
Well, no, that counts, though, because what you're not doing is what some people would do is say, here's my music, and that's what I want to listen to. I don't want to hear music I didn't ask to hear.
Sure.
I don't want the AI DJ or just to listen to some playlist that's got songs on it I don't want. So if you're saying, if you're willing to, even if it's only a few seconds, you're listening through them and trying to find something good, you're still searching out new music.
Sure.
But most people kind of mature at it. Well, a lot of people mature at a certain age with their musical taste.
And they say that's the best music ever.
And then they say that's the best music ever. And then they kind of stop. And they did this entire statistical analysis to figure out when we stop, why we stop. You know, they theorize why we stop, but when we stop and what we think the greatest era was and all that. Of course, it's all related to your age, but maybe you will be like the Warren Buffett of those billions.
No,
maybe you'll buck this.
Like, I know what comes up when I play music, and it's stuff, it's older stuff that I grew up with, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm curious too, both of you, because Silkman's a huge music fan as well. I'm curious if I were to ask you, and you can tell me here in a second, but at what age did you feel like, okay, my taste in music has evolved to the point where I truly know what I like. I'm pretty sure I appreciate, because you're looking back now with hindsight, you go, by that age, I was appreciating stuff that maybe had gone under the radar for me for a while or I'd been dismissive about. That was the age when my taste in music really matured.
Hmm.
But I'll tell you what they say, and I'm curious if you agree here in a sec.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
So, when do you become uncool? It's not when do you become uncool, but when do you stop trying to find a new music? You stop looking for it. You always thought of yourself as a huge music fan. you went to a bunch of concerts when you were a kid, whatever. I mean, most people, I think, consider themselves music fans. We've talked about that before. If you were on a dating app and you met someone and, like, I love music, and the person was like, yeah, I don't like music, that would be weird. I mean, most people at least like country. They like right. some sort of music. And there's an age where you really like music, where it becomes one of the most important things, if not, you might say at a certain age that it's the most important thing to you, is music, right?
Right.
And that's somewhere in your teens. But they did these studies, and there are multiple studies done by multiple groups, including Spotify, because obviously Spotify has a ton of information at their disposal with all their users being able to see the ages and how long people listen to a song and what they're listening to. And they found these studies actually do correlate with one another, that there actually is an age when you kind of peak when it comes to wanting to find new stuff, and there is an age where you stop, where you stagnate. There's also an age where your musical taste, you could say, kind of matures instead of just stagnating. Because I do think this is a little interesting how they do this. When you're younger, you're more likely to listen to pop music. I would agree with that, right? There's new music. It's some new artist. Dua Lipa puts out the very first song, whatever that was, and you listen to it because you're, I don't know how old I was. But when I remember being in elementary school and listening to the radio and hearing a pop song and going, even like Casey Kasem's Countdown.
Sure.
Hearing a pop song and going, oh, I like that, and then wanting to go out and buy the single or buy the album or whatever. As you get older, this is probably no surprise, most people are less likely to listen to that mainstream music, to start with that mainstream music. Some people are pop fans, and they do.
Right.
But for a lot of people, as their musical tastes evolve, they start to move away from that. And so what they did for this study is they give artists a number. So take the most popular artists in the world, like Taylor Swift, okay?
Right.
She'd be a one. Then they take an artist like Led Zeppelin, who they say is much further down the mainstream appeal,
okay,
and they give them a score like 200. And then you could have artists that have even higher numbers, right? They're even further down, more obscure, whatever. And then they look at what people listen to, what they say they listen to, all those things. And they can literally put together graphs and figure out when our musical tastes peak, which it turns out we have a peak influence age, which is that age probably where you say music is the most important thing. You're obsessed with music. You love music. And any guesses what that age is?
25.
It's quite a bit younger.
Oh, really?
This is not when it's matured. It's not. This is when they call it peak influence. It has the most influence. So you're really seeking out everything, but it's a lot of pop music. Even if you're not seeking it out, you really like a lot of stuff. You're pretty open-minded, and you're very aware of new music.
Okay.
Now, it's like I was saying earlier, if I was in high school, if there was a pop artist that I didn't like, I still was aware of them, whereas now you guys will. I'll be telling a news story.
I couldn't name any songs on the top 40. There's no way I could.
I don't know some of those artists, and I have to ask someone. And he goes, "That woman sells out arenas. She's been popular for years."
Yeah.
In high school, even if I didn't like that artist,
you'd
I was aware of it.
Sure. Okay.
So that number sort of made sense to me. That they said it's about 13 for women and 14 for males. This is like,
that seems young.
Yeah, but I get it. You're saying, when do the strongest adult musical preferences start to set in?
Okay.
So what would you, because you still think,
I would
you
say,
being
yeah, I would say that it's older, because I think at 13 you're still being kind of fed stuff.
Yeah.
You haven't really figured it out, and I don't know that it's the most important thing in the world until, like, you find whatever that is that gets you into that music, whether it's metal or punk rock or whatever, and you find it, then you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
There's this whole depth of thing that I need to go find and listen to and figure out, right?
I think that's
so I don't think that's at 13.
No. To give an example, maybe this will make more sense.
That's seventh grade for me.
For the peak influence, and maybe this will help make that number sound more reasonable. They give an example of, like, the guy's 12 years old when American Idiot comes out. Green Day. We were just talking about Green Day. Goes out, buys it, comes home, listens to the single, listens to the whole album, devours it, and thinks, this is monumental. This is an act of revolution, right? This is the greatest thing. I'm kind of showing a form of protest against society, my parents, the whole thing. Because you're so impressionable at that age, you can believe those things. He says, when in reality, American Idiot was probably not a true act of revolution. It was produced and promoted by a multinational conglomerate.
Of course.
And so that's when it starts to make sense. Okay, at 13, maybe I wasn't thinking those things. So this music could have the most influence on me.
Okay.
So that, you see what they're saying
there? I do.
like you believe it, I guess, the most. It's you're susceptible to all that, and you think that you're. It's easier to think things are cool too. You're certainly not as jaded yet, because we'll get to that. You start to get jaded as you get older. But based on your age, you know, not based on your age, just based on you, what decade do you think was the best decade for music? They asked everybody this of different ages. What decade do you think was the best decade for music? They started with the 60s. 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, the 10s, or the 20s. Kind of weird that they even put the 20s in there. But which decade do you think was the best? It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, for me, obviously, because of my age, the 90s.
Yeah.
You know.
The 90s is just...
Although I do have a soft spot for the 70s.
It's that's a
you know,
tough
the late
one.
60s, early 70s, you got everything from yacht rock to, you know, Zeppelin and, you know, the Stones. And, I mean, there's a lot going on. But like we talked about before, the 70s were a weird time, too. So, you know, I do like the 70s. From Steely Dan to Black Sabbath,
that's
right?
Like, a lot of people will say, if you're a rock fan, then you have to, you know, people of a certain age say, I've heard Bill Burr talk about it, like, it's the 70s. How could you possibly say that it's any other decade? Look at all those artists from the 70s. And if you're of a certain age, you're likely to say it. Baby boomers are most likely to say that the 70s was the greatest decade for music. Gen X, surprisingly, quite a bit less. I mean, there's like 38% of baby boomers that say the 70s. For Gen X, there's only 17%. 38% of Gen Xers say it's the 80s.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, this also, of course, depends on what kind of music you're into. If you like, if you're a huge fan of pop or whatever, then that might be different. If we're just saying what's the best decade for rock, I think that's a... It's still a tough one to answer, but it could be different. So millennials, they say the 90s, although...
So it's just everything you're in high school.
Exactly, pretty much.
Yeah, like, I'm as you're growing up, so I was in high school in the 80s, so like I'm like, okay, that's the greatest, even though I don't think that. But
and well, and when you were 13, that age that they gave, you know, when you were a teenager and everything seemed monumental and important, and everything seemed new. Remember, as you get older, you start getting into music, and you're talking about some artist that you like, and you have some older... more knowledgeable music fans say, yeah, they just sound like so-and-so.
Right,
and you go, wait, what? You know, and you start to learn about it, and that's as, you know, your tastes start to evolve a little bit more. And what they did is they look at people and they say, okay, we're going to use those numbers I talked about earlier. So if you're the biggest pop star, you're a 1. If you're Led Zeppelin, you're 200. If you're some obscure punk band, you might be 800, right? And they look at it they look at which artists you're listening to by your age, you know, at each age, as you grow, who is your favorite artist? And what you see is, it shouldn't be that surprising, that you start to spiral away from that mainstream as you get older. You get further and further away from the center. But at what point do you stop getting away from that, which should indicate that you've kind of stopped exploring new genres, new forms of music, and the age that they give is mid-30s, basically. But they also say that around 30 is when your taste actually matures, which I thought was probably accurate for me, too, because I figured that they would say that your taste matures in your early mid-20s. But for me, I felt like I really spent a lot of time in my 30s listening to older stuff that I hadn't...
Right.
I was aware of it, I hadn't dove into, and I just feel like I have all these catalogs of music. You know why I had time to do that? Because I wasn't listening to new stuff as much.
Well,
so in its absence of listening to this new stuff...
Well, that's why I thought 25 or 30 would be the time that you're, instead of 13 like we talked about earlier, that's the time where you're like, oh, okay, this is what I like, and you're starting to explore those things.
Yes, yes.
Right? So you're like, oh, wow, let me go back and listen to whatever it is. If you're a rock guy, you know... I didn't know Fog Hat was a thing, or I didn't know, right? Everything, so, or if you're a punk rock guy, you're like, well, let me go listen to one of these, like, early Rollins albums. I don't know anything about this stuff, right? Like, I don't know anything about the Germs. Like, what am I doing here, right?
That's accurate, because it is, again, different from that influence thing. They said that your...
Well, it feels like in those mid-20s and late-30s, that's when I was like, well, what is the Damned, and why am I going to see him tonight?
Right.
So I want to figure out what it is.
They gave the age of 24. They said that at 24, that's the age that music discovery peaks. So that's the average age when you are discovering the most new stuff. Part of it is because, you know, you're still young and there's a lot of stuff that you don't know about. But a part of it is because you're devoting more time to it. So 24 is the age when your music discovery peaks. That's when you are really branching out, you know, the most. So I think that's kind of what you're saying.
Exactly.
And that's different from being influenced or whatever by music. So 24. But you get into your 30s. Now, they also say that it depends on whether or not you have kids. If you have kids, then your new music, that circle, as you start to spread away from the center there, it starts to level out a few years earlier than the people who don't have kids. They call it a parent tax. I actually thought that was kind of weird because I would think that if you have kids, your kids are listening to some new music.
Yeah, but you're like, I don't want to listen to this.
Okay, that's fair. I just thought, man, but
I mean, I think a lot of people do that. Like, what are you listening to? Stop it.
Yeah, but you're aware of it. Right? Based on the way that they did this thing, I just thought, well, I think Lazo and Snowcone are more likely to know some new pop or hip-hop artist or whatever because their kids
I know more hip-hop artists because my kids talk about them or they're playing in the car or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I just thought that parent tax was weird. But I guess what they're saying is the time that you're spending dedicating or allowing yourself to listen to new stuff. And what they can do, it's pretty simple. I mean, you go take a streaming service, like you said, and look at what kind of playlists are you listening to? Well, apparently when you get into your 30s, you know, somewhere in your mid-30s, depending on whether you have kids or not, you decide, I want to listen to the stuff that I know. And you are much less likely
it's
to
like
say,
comfort food.
Yep, I'm not interested in you telling me about new bands or even old bands that I might be interested in. Then you have the music snobs, which I think we all consider ourselves music snobs.
To a degree,
so for the music snobs, I think, we're not music snobs like Matt Pinfield maybe, but we definitely still like music a lot as adults. I'd say we're in the high end there. That we like to think that we do still try. We may not. I'm not trying as hard as I was at 24. I'll admit. If my music discovery peaked at 24, I'd buy that.
Sure.
But I do at 42, I do still try to hear what's new.
Sure, I'll go like it. I mean, I usually don't like it. But so I'll be like, oh, look. I mean, you know, I couldn't stop myself after the Grammys or whatever. I'm like, who is this Chapel Roan?
Right.
It's everywhere. All right. Let me listen to it.
Let me hear a piece of it.
Right.
I'm the same way. And we'll go on the Billboard charts and just start looking. And
I was listening to a podcast with Bob Mould from Husker Du, which is, you know, a Minneapolis punk band. And he's in his 60s, put something out. They're like, what do you listen to? And he really was like, literally said, I'm trying to figure out what this Chaperone thing is. Like, what is it? Because somebody I listen to it, I'm like, all right, I don't got it. But, it was on the Grammys. So, you know, I think there's still that involved. It's just, I think I don't. I tend not to like most of it.
Right, because your taste calcified.
Yeah. And I'm also like, there's a limited. I think that something they left out of there, unless they talk about it. I think it's there's a finite amount of time.
Yeah.
Before I could listen to anything, I could go see shows. I could do whatever I want. I'm like, well, do I want to listen to another Chapel Roan song to see if I like it, or do I just want to play Social Distortion?
Right.
I know the answer.
Yes.
I'm trying to force myself to listen to another one of these songs. I don't want to. And so there
that's
we go.
That's perfectly normal. And that starts basically from 30 onward. You know, that idea of listening to more music outside the mainstream really begins. But at a certain age, we're less likely to hit that playlist. It's the new music discovery on Spotify. I don't know what they call it on Apple. Like on Spotify, there's a discovery thing, and there's like a release radar, which is artists that it thinks you like or thinks that you should like. Are you taking the time to listen to those? And I'm not going to name any names here, but I have friends who consider themselves really into music, and I notice somewhere within the last, you know, we're all around the same age, somewhere in the last 10 years, 5 years, I never hear them listening to anything other than the same stuff I already know they like.
Sure.
And so I think that's why I say we call ourselves music snobs. I'll use air quotes. I think we still try to a certain degree. Whereas some people are like, I don't care to. I know what I like. I know what I want to listen to.
Right.
And I'm good with it. Another thing that happens as you get older is that you start to think that new music, even if it is supposed to be music of whatever your favorite genre is, if you like metal or alternative or whatever it is, that you start to say at some point, new music isn't as good as it was. And that goes back to what was the best decade. And I'm assuming that happens to every generation, that they all go, yeah, this is in my, even if they're kind of music snobs, so to speak, that they go, because I will admit, somewhere around the pandemic or maybe even before that, I was listening to stuff, I'm like, there's just not.
No, I'm still there.
Right, and I'm still there now. Right. And I'm waiting for
it's probably my
Nirvana.
Fault, though, you're right, and not theirs.
Is it our fault, or, you know,
or is it just not as good?
Is there a new Nirvana out there and we just didn't hear it? I feel like it's not out there.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. So, jobs that require a high tolerance.
Being yelled at.
Yeah, high tolerance for getting yelled at. And we were sitting here off the air discussing who in this room could handle it the best.
I don't like being told what to do, but...
I know. So
I don't mind getting yelled at. That's what the money's for.
Right. I think the issue with you could be... Well, we'll get to you. First of all, just to be open and honest here, I will probably start to cry. If you start yelling at me and I keep trying to engage with you, I could easily get choked up and I got to leave.
Jesus
so Christ. I just shut down. Unless I want to start showing like I'm going to cry, I'll just shut down. Snow cone.
Just shut down.
I'll just stop talking. Yeah, my face will get red and I'll just stop talking.
I can't with you anymore.
Yeah, like I went into this boss's office. I had this all planned out. I wanted to ask for this raise and now he's screaming at me. I'm going to start to feel that embarrassment like I'm a kid again and like I want to leave. I might start crying if I don't get the hell out of here. Snow cone can handle it in the moment, but just like me, he's going to go home and
cry.
Think about it.
Will you cry?
No. He'll go home and stew over it. You know, drink about it,
I'll be upset about it.
I'll
be depressed and drinking and then I'll get pissed and angry.
Yeah. He'll take it home with him, which I would too. But he's better in the moment.
I do every day.
Right. At least you're not crying in the moment when he yells. You might even be able to yell back at him a little bit, maybe. Which I know I'm not doing that.
I doubt it, but maybe.
Now, Laszlo.
I'm not yelling. I might protest a little bit. I'll put it that way.
Right. More than I would do. Laszlo will match
yelling.
The yell and maybe even increase the decibel a little bit.
Yeah, I don't mind yelling back.
I've seen it happen. Doesn't matter if the person is an equal, a subordinate, or a superior.
Yeah, no.
You can, if they start yelling. Now, you're not a yeller. Laszlo's not one who starts yelling at people.
No, but I'm not afraid to yell back.
Right.
Like, if we're at this point, then if you're just, like, you're not my dad.
Right.
You don't just get to yell at me and berate me because, I don't know what, you make more money than me? No, that's not okay. Now, if you're yelling at me for something I did, then I'll just, you take it. Like,
sometimes.
No, I mean, really, like, it's not something I don't believe in. They're like, well, God damn it, you didn't show up for work. Like, yeah, all right.
Well, sure.
You can yell at me, right? But if it's like, you did this, I told, well, okay.
Yeah, sometimes they get mad at something we did that we don't think they should be mad about.
Then I'll yell back.
Then you yell back, yeah, okay. Right. So, and it is different with a boss, obviously, than a customer or a coworker. If you're at work and you're getting yelled at by a customer, then you're going to have to be able to deal with that. I just think that you would probably be the best, Laszlo, at if you worked at one of these jobs where customers were yelling at you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you handle it in the moment, if your boss would love how you handle it in the moment or not, but I do think that you'd be the best at going home and
not thinking about it. No.
Yeah,
and I'd be fine if it was... If that was part of the job, if they just said, hey, you're going to go work at the Gap.
Yeah.
And people are going to yell at you because their pants don't fit, or you don't, I'd be like, well, fine. Like, I don't. Okay.
Right.
And I would be fine with them being like, you dumbass. I'd be like, yeah, you're right. You know what? We need to fix that for you. I wouldn't care.
That's what
the money's for.
Okay.
Wouldn't bother me. Like, it wouldn't embarrass you. They don't own the Gap.
Yeah.
I didn't make the rules. But I'm here, and they pay me money so that you can yell at me. I'll do it.
Are you embarrassed in that moment at all when other people are watching you get yelled at by a customer that doesn't bother you?
No.
Right. That's what I thought. Because I think for some people, maybe
after a while, I'll be like, hey, this is a job where people yell at me all the time. You need to pay me more money.
Sure.
Again, because I keep going back to it because that's what the money's for.
But you can do
it. And the money isn't enough to take, crap from these people.
Yeah.
But if the money's enough, then whatever. Call me whatever you want.
The job that
you
I
can slap me for enough money. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Yeah. And sure, a lot of people would say that. I'd even say it. Let me help me. But insofar as who could actually handle it, you could handle it.
You could absolutely
handle it in that moment. You could take it.
Well, I grew up in a house like that, too.
And you could go home.
My dad would scream and yell and scream and be intimidating. And then I would scream and yell back. And then literally 15 minutes later, he'd be like, are we going to go get dinner now?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah. And, okay. You said what you had to say. I said what I had to say. We both know, and he told me that before, we both know where we stand. Nobody's changed their mind. Why are we going to ruin dinner over it?
Well, that's good that he responded that way, and that's probably part of why you...
I'm still that way.
I still think that way.
Like, all right, you yelled at me, I yelled at you. It's over. Why are we... What are we doing?
Yeah. But
why are we going to sit around and be weird to each other for 2 days? Like, it happened.
Yeah, put it behind you.
Yeah.
I got yelled at. I just learned not to yell back. So I don't know if it was different. I really can't imagine if one of my parents were yelling at me, that at least within that day, if I'm yelling back, that they're going to say, okay, let's put this behind us. It's going to at least go through until the next day. So I guess I just learned to try to not yell back, take my punishment, take the intimidation, whatever it is, right, and then move on. The job that I think of when you hear about people getting yelled at work, immediately I think of airline attendants who work at the airport.
Yeah.
Because I watch them. I mean, you can't really fly without seeing, even if you're just going to the airport and barely catching your flight and walking by, there's still a very good chance you see one of these people getting yelled at.
Yeah, because their flight's been canceled.
Their flight's been canceled, or they say, hell, I've been guilty of it. I always said I'd never do it because people get yelled at all the time. But one time I got to the airport, they said I wasn't early enough. I said, the plane's not even here yet. I'm like, but that doesn't matter. You're supposed to be here 45 minutes. You're 40 minutes. I'm like, no. The airplane isn't here. I got angry. And it's like, maybe this is why you get yelled at.
Right.
But sometimes I do think it's probably most of the time things are out of their control and they don't deserve it. But I hope that they get paid decent because they do get yelled at.
I think that's why they are who they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, all right, hey.
They can do it. And they are on this list. They're pretty
Mary, you got to go sit out front here, Southwest. We cancel a ton of our flights. You are going to catch crap every day.
Yeah.
And this is what you get paid for.
Yep.
You're not getting paid to take the little thing and be
no,
like,
you
okay, now,
deal with
please,
them.
Thanks for checking your luggage. Go to TSA line like that. They don't pay people for that.
No.
They pay you to take crap because they've, you know, had a bad business model to some degree, and the flights are getting canceled, so you got to get yelled at. Your job is to handle it and try to make them happy. That's what you are.
Yep, and those people do it, and a lot of them do it very well. So they're on the list. Line cooks are on the list.
Yeah.
Now, they're getting yelled at a lot of times by coworkers.
Yeah.
So, again, I do think that can be a little different. And when you're working in a kitchen and people are yelling at you,
it's
so
normal.
Hectic. It just feels normal. That never bothered me.
No.
Because I know we're all in a rush. It's busy. It's Friday night. You know,
right,
we've been working a double, whatever. Social workers, apparently they get yelled at a lot. Mm. I don't know much about it. But, you know, my sister-in-law's a social worker. I don't know if she specifically gets yelled at, but her job definitely sounds tough. Pharmacists. Yeah, I do see pharmacists get yelled at a lot. And they certainly at least get angry, especially in the last 5 years since COVID.
Right.
With all the shortages and all these other issues, and of course people's insurance gets worse and worse, but if I go to the pharmacy and there's one or two people in front of me in line, I'm saying there's an 80% chance I see a pharmacist or at least someone working behind the counter getting yelled at.
Right,
someone gets upset. I want my prescription. Oh, it's not here. We don't have it. Here's the reason. And they get angry. That does not seem like a good job. The pharmacist makes decent money, right? They make good money.
I don't know what a pharmacist tech makes.
But exactly.
I have no idea. It's probably okay money, though.
I would hope so, especially within the last 5 years.
I dated one. They make pretty good money.
To be the tech?
To be the tech, yeah.
What about just the cash register person who's also helping to fill sometimes? I don't know if they're officially techs.
I think they might have to be techs, too. Want to be back there?
Really?
Just around the drugs? I would think so.
I worked at a pharmacy that was years ago.
I don't know the answer to that, though. I would just assume they, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it does seem like a tough job. They get yelled at a lot. I try to be nice to them. Healthcare workers are above them on the list. I mean, obviously, doctors, nurses, all of them get yelled at, even veterinarians. Cops are on the list. Yeah, cops get yelled at, but cops, it's different because cops already have this position of authority from the moment they put on that uniform.
Yeah.
So if they get yelled at, I just feel like it would feel different when you got that uniform on.
Well, it depends on what you're getting yelled at. If you're like, hey, you crap bastard, you wrote me a ticket, I hate you.
Yeah.
That's one thing. You're like, all right, well, take the ticket. If it's heat, and they're like, take that, copper.
Well, that's
a worse yell than anything.
For
so
sure.
I think you're just
shootings
worried
aside.
About, I think it's just you're worried about what the yelling is.
Yeah, what will this lead to?
Where is this yelling going to lead to? If it's just, you know, Blasio on his way home, like, screw you and the DMV. I can never get a license plate anyway.
Right.
Take the ticket and shove it up your ass. I think at that point, you're like, dude, whatever, man. I don't work at the DMV. I'm a cop. Take the ticket.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you're screaming and you're like, I'll get out, you know, well, what'd you say? You're going to get out of the car. I think all of a sudden things are heightened when that yelling starts.
That's unique in that sense.
Right.
For
I'd be a little more worried
like
about
fear.
That.
You're not probably scared as the pharmacist that this guy's going to come across the counter. It's never happened. Referees. Especially, you know, from pro sports
umpires,
all the way down to Little League. They say Little League probably gets it worse because they don't want to be punished.
Because they don't want to be yelled at all the time.
Like, that's a real thing? It's tough? Are they hiring kids or what?
Yeah, it's tough to hire umpires because they're just getting yelled at by parents and stuff.
When did that start? Was it always going on? I just felt like that I remember it becoming this kind of cultural phenomenon, or at least they acted like it was, in somewhere in the 2000s. But it could have existed before that, and we just didn't talk about it. I just don't remember it happening in any of my games as a kid. I don't remember it happening once.
I remember when I got older and played like that version of club baseball, what they have now.
Yeah.
I don't remember the parents doing it.
That's what I mean.
But I remember our coach doing it then.
Okay, yeah,
our coach
true.
Would be like, that's a BS call, screw you, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It got a little more heated when we turned in like 17 and 18.
Yeah.
Like that, then I think the coach is paid and what, I don't know if he, you know, he obviously very competitive and had some sports history behind him.
Sure.
Where I don't think when my dad was coaching sixth grade, I think of the guy was like, you know, well, on a double play, there's three outs. My dad would be like, damn, didn't know. Like, you know right, what I mean? Be right. Like, okay, I know, whatever.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking of parents yelling. Right. That
I think the parents, like, that, really I don't yelling. Remember that.
Yeah, that's I don't remember seeing it at all. Teachers, apparently they get yelled at a lot by kids and parents. I worked at a daycare, and I had one or two incidents where a parent yelled at me. That is an uncomfortable thing. It's also a scary thing, because if a parent is yelling at you, and you work in some sort of job where you're supposed to be caring for their child, you start to worry, like, how mad are you? And could I get in trouble for this? Like, are you going to sue me? Like,
right.
You're yelling at me? This is bad. And there's a young child involved. And so for teachers, I have to deal with that at a parent-teacher conference.
I've had a couple things go on with my kids over the years, like through schools. And by the way, I love their public schools. And their principals and teachers have been great. I got no problems with them. But I have had a couple problems throughout the time. And we have a guy who listens to us. I don't want to say give any more clues than that.
Okay.
But was a not only a principal, but a high administrator in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Retired now. And there's been times where I've texted him and been like, yo, does this sound right? And then, he, you know, talk you through it. Be like, I'm telling you right now, if it was another parent, there'd be a lawsuit.
Wow.
Like, they would sit there, he's like, in my office right now. And he even say, like, if this was Blue Valley, there'd be I wouldn't be talking. There would be no talk. There would be a lawyer.
Okay.
Like, just send lawyers in.
Yeah.
Like, what'd you do? Did you, you know, whatever it is. Did you fail my kid for this? Is he suspended for this? Whatever. Talk to my lawyer.
Yeah.
And they will send a lawyer in. And he's like, it would happen all the time.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. That's what I'm saying. Even at that preschool, it was scary. Because I kind of was thinking that. Like, is someone going to get sued? Am I going to get sued? Is the state going to come in here and get mad at me? And eventually someone did. Luckily, it wasn't me, but someone did get in trouble there,
right.
You know, like through the state. Then the place.
And in my head, I'm like, they would sue for, like, I'm just arguing with the lady.
Right.
I'm not going to sue her.
Right.
Like, I don't even. What would I sue her for? Like,
who
one
knows?
Of them was they accused one of my kids of using ChatGPT or AI
oh, yeah.
to do a homework thing. And, I then I asked him, he said, I didn't. I'm like, all right. I'm like, well, what proof do you have? And they're like, well, we ran it through a ChatGPT thing. I'm like, I don't think this is real.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? And if why, how, are you using ChatGPT? Who's using ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Why are you using it? Like,
yeah.
What? And if he did, I don't, what, how do you know? Like, what? And they're like, well, he didn't edit his Google Doc. I'm like, what are you?
It was
and
then
I asked
fishy.
Him, and he said, yeah, but I wrote it on this, and I copied and pasted it into there. And I'm like, is that a possibility? And they're like, yes, but, you know, we think it's you. I'm like, well, does it matter? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And I talked to this guy, and he's like, oh, there would be a lawyer in there right now. I'm
okay.
Like, for what?
I could see
like,
that.
Just right.
In California, like, Southern California,
right,
for sure.
Blue Valley, apparently.
Yeah, I'm saying I could
right.
see, like, that's the kind of thing, though.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm
so
like,
Blue
what
Valley,
are we
sure.
suing for? I'm, you know, I don't, defamation. Like, yeah, they're saying he cheated when he didn't. They're going to need to prove that. I'm like, all right. Well, I'm just going to have them do it again.
The more
do it over. Like, I don't understand.
The more we talk about this, I just teachers have it rough, man. That does not sound like a fun job. I understand that if you like teaching and like kids, there would be hopefully a lot of fun aspects to it. But, God, man, dealing with parents, oftentimes two parents for each kid,
right?
Right. And if that kid misbehaves, it's always the teacher's fault. It's not the kid, because everyone's kid is perfect, right?
Right.
Like
yeah.
it's perfect, my kid. And then the lawsuits, the more we talk about it, the more I think teachers, that is
yeah.
that just sounds like a hell of a gig. Administrators, too.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
I mean?
I think that's most
the
of it. Because then the teacher goes to the administrator, and then you got to get on the phone with both of them. And I'm like, well, I don't.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do it. And then finally, you get yelled at the most in the military. But the military, getting yelled at, very unique, because everyone's getting yelled at. Yeah, that doesn't bother you.
Literally, that's how it goes.
And, like, if you got called out in front of everybody else, if he came up and got in your face like they do in the movies, that doesn't really bother you because he did it to everybody, right?
In boot camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then I think even in the, well, I mean, once you were on the ship, if some guy yelled at you, you might be like, well,
it's okay. Yeah,
I remember laying in bed, not wanting to get up, and George Bush was coming on the ship.
Whoa.
and he was going to visit the ship. And I was like, I don't want to get up for this dude. I had like a late night watch or something. I don't want to. And my boss came in. He's like, get up. And I'm like, no.
Ooh.
And then he was like, if you don't get up, I'm going to write you up. And I opened up my little curtain. I said, you know how to write it, and I know how to sign it. Now get the hell out of here. And I closed it. And later on, he came down, and he was telling his wife, he's like, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. Like, dude was sleeping and just said, you know how to write it, I know how to sign it. He didn't write me up. He was fine with it.
Really? Man, I didn't think you'd get kicked off the ship for that. And you, so you didn't meet HW?
I did not.
Oh, my
God. I stayed in bed when he was there.
Oh, my God.
The Church of Laszlo.
I told you, I think I already told you about the Montco. I don't know where Montco is. You lived in Pennsylvania, Laszlo. I think this is somewhere in Pennsylvania. Montco, Pennsylvania. This guy's name is Barry. 79 years old, okay? And, I mean, he looks it. I'm looking at his mugshot. You can tell he's an old man. He was arrested after he was trying to send medical information to a business in Abington, like the doctor's office or whatever, and he sent the wrong thing. I mean, look, he's old. Technology's tough. By the time we're 79, the things that they'll be doing with technology, no one can keep up. It's impossible. So, you know, this guy has a tough time figuring out how to attach certain things. So the idea that you would attach the wrong thing, I can see my mom doing that.
Right.
She sends an empty document or she sends something old. But this guy, apparently he sent child porn. And he did not mean to send child porn. Child sexual material is what they say, instead of the requested medical form. So he's got this thing. You attach your medical form to it. He gets it. And instead of attaching the medical form, he attaches child pornography and sends it back as an accident. Oh. Now, I know it's good that he's caught, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. So, you know, it's, I don't know, but it's just the idea of, like, we've all texted someone the wrong thing.
Of course.
We've all sent the wrong attachment in an email.
That's a bad one. Why you got that so readily out?
Yeah. And, like, what was this? Are you abusing kids in your family? Was it something you got online? You're not great with technology.
No.
So I can't imagine that you're, like, getting on the dark web using
Tor browsers. That's why I don't even know how you get it.
Right.
So, like, I know people say, like, the dark web. I'm like, I have an idea. It's an internet that yeah. I'm not on.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get on it.
Right.
I have no idea how to start that.
It's the kind of thing, like, even if you say there's great stuff on there, I'm like, I don't want the Tor browser on my computer, because as soon as I have a browser that accesses...
I don't even know how to get it.
That's how you get on... That's like a web browser, and that gets you on the dark web. So you just... It's like and internet once you get in there.
Where do I go, then?
You have to know.
Right. So you're like, I'm lost.
I mean, there are ways to search, I'm sure, but my whole thing is, like, if I have that on my computer at all, if I tell people, like, oh, well, I use it because I get great deals on neckties or whatever, no, they automatically think you're looking at child porn, right? I don't want to be on the dark web. I don't want to accidentally come across that stuff, and I'm with you. I don't accidentally come across it. I never see it.
Mm-mm.
But I hear these cops say, I just heard one giving a press conference the other day. It wasn't this guy's story. It was someone else's. And they were talking about how his job is, child sex crimes type of stuff, right? To look into those, to investigate those. And they were talking about child porn. He's like, you have no idea how common it is. And, like, people share it on Facebook. They share it on Instagram. They will post it. They will try and post it a lot of times on public, like Facebook, and there's algorithm or, you know, whatever, the AI that's usually able to spot it and take it down. But people will just send it to one another in Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, you know, also owned by Facebook. They're just very open with it, and he said it's everywhere. And I thought, you know, when I was young and the internet was new, I do remember at some point when I was a teenager, when you'd see all those pop-up ads, I saw one that had a kid on it. I don't know if it was a real kid or not,
right?
But I saw one. And I remember thinking then, I don't know if I was like 14 or what, but I remember thinking just from that ad, I was like, my whole family's going to prison. I brought down my whole family.
If it just pops up or if it's streaming, right?
I found out.
You got to own it, download it.
Like, yeah. Because I was almost in tears.
If that's true, then there'd be a lot of people in trouble. Like, I just opened up my Facebook, like, well, now you doesn't feel like
it's
that's
not how it
the
works.
Thing, right?
It's not how it works. Because I was literally, you know me, I was like almost in tears about it. And then found out from somebody, in the next day or two, they said, no, you have to have a certain number of images or videos.
Saved
and,
or owned?
Yeah, or I think browsed at. Like, if you've looked at it, if they can find that you've been looking at those and you've been seeking them out. But there was some number. Now, of course, this is like the 90s or whatever. I don't know what the rules are now, but I just assume it's something similar. If you come across something on Facebook or whatever. That's
right.
You weren't seeking it out.
Or on Pornhub.
Right, or on Pornhub. Right. Now, right. If you typed it out and searched it, that's my thing. What if you went on Pornhub and you searched that, and they're like, yo, no. But are you already in trouble because you were looking for it?
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine, right? Because that's maybe
it feels like what they were doing with that John Ashcroft thing. Because I just assume if it's on the regular internet, then it's not really bad.
Right.
You don't understand what I'm saying. It could be bad, but it's not
kids.
That, right?
It's not kids. Yeah. It's legal.
Right.
It's
and
legal.
It's not a, you know, a snuff film. Like, it's not real.
It's legal.
Right. And it feels like that's a John Ashcroft thing where they're like, well, a girl pretending to be a teenager is still illegal. And they're like, yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think if you were like, if you searched Pornhub Catholic schoolgirl outfit, I don't think that gets you.
No, but if you said four-year-old, if you search four-year-old, is that enough? If Pornhub's going to be like, no, of course not, but then do they automatically say, by the way, I'm sure I would think that they at least look into you after that, right?
Or flag your account.
Or flag your account or something, alert authorities. And the people whose job it is, like that cop that I saw on TV, or like these Interpol officers, that's all they do, that they sit and stare at these images, and they have to look for clues, like in a hotel room, and they'll go, okay, this Coke can has a label that's usually used in, you know, we'll say Belgium, right? And so we're going to focus more on that part. Okay, now if we look at all these hotels, but what they're doing is staring at these horrifying pictures all the time and videos. I cannot imagine. I can't imagine. And I wonder what kind of person is able to do
that day after
it's got to be someone who can disassociate, right? And can the same kind of person who can, and I'm not saying it's the same thing, but same kind of person who can see a tragedy throughout their work day and then go home and turn it off.
I think
EMTs,
we all
doctors.
That podcast, the person that worked for Facebook and their job was to go in and view what was, you know, marked as sensitive content or whatever.
Yeah.
So every day they'd have to go in and they log on.
Yes.
And all they would see is like people getting beheaded, animals being killed, child pornography. And they said they would sit there 8 hours a day and just see the most horrific images.
Yeah.
And then go home. Like, I did it for like 2 weeks and I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, and wasn't that podcast about how like they need to change it and they need to use, AI, more because it's
ruining people's
lives. Ruining people's lives, just the people who are trying to find it.
To help and fix it.
A 79-year-old guy, you know what I mean, in Pennsylvania. Like, I don't know anything about this guy, but this 79-year-old, how long has he been doing this?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Who knows what he was even looking at?
Exactly. Did he do it on purpose?
Right.
It could have been accidental, and then he accidentally attaches
this
thing.
Guy 79 know how to get on the dark web, and I have no clue?
Right. I
don't know. I mean, maybe if the compulsion is there, then you figure out how to do it. I don't have the compulsion to get on there because it's not my thing.
Right. Thank
but
God.
But maybe if that is your thing, right, then you're like, I need to learn how to get on this dark web, right?
Yeah, so. I guess so. But I think, at the very least, this guy now has the award for the worst case of oops, wrong person.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't mean to send you that. It doesn't get any worse than that.
And the doctors just send it to the cops. They're like, hey, this guy sent us this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They alerted authorities about it, and there's an investigation into it. They found additional materials when they looked into his, devices, I assume phone, maybe computer, including the exact same image that he had allegedly sent the doctor's office. Can you imagine you're a receptionist, nurse, doctor, whatever? And you know, this old man, 79 years old, and you ask, hey, send me your numbers on that prostate thing or whatever. I want to see. I know you got some blood work done at another office, and he just sends you that. I'm not seeing you as a patient anymore. And you're absolutely
calling the cops. Be like, hey.
You definitely sent it to the cops. Right. And I don't know that I'm the kind of person that always alerts authorities.
No, on that, you do.
But with that one, I think you do. I think you do.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. What's up?
We're done, man. That's it.
Oh, good.
Is today Wednesday? Tuesday. I guess I would bet some baseball, but last time I bet baseball, they took
the White Sox
money,
lose.
So that's what I should be doing. Snowcone, we both need to do
it. What the hell? You've been bitching at me for not doing it.
Because I was doing other things, but remember my account.
What, you haven't been doing it this whole time?
Mine wouldn't pay me.
What the hell is this?
It canceled my winning bet.
Oh, baloney.
I'm doing it right now. I am doing
it
right now.
You've been bitching me for days about this.
I'm doing it right now because they took most of my money, but not all of it. So I'm getting on the right now, and I'm going to bet for them to lose. Did they already play today?
I don't know. I'm looking.
Okay. Well, how much do I have left? I think I have like $10 in chains.
Good. Perfect.
These a-holes. $10.36. So I'm just going to bet the White Sox to lose. And then if they win, I'll have to deposit more money.
Yeah, but you'll make it back.
Into this thieving app.
There's no risk.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, there's literally no risk.
They could keep winning.
You think they're going to win over 80 unlikely. Games?
Yeah.
It seems
I believe.
Pretty unlikely. Snowcone, you should be doing
this. Oh, you can't do it.
So should you.
0-0 the Guardians in the 8.
Okay, but I can.
You can do it right now.
Okay, perfect. MLB, Sox to lose. And you just bet them to lose straight up. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Just bet them to lose. Okay. Done. Go Guardians. All right,
easy
$10.
Money.
So it begins.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where this leads. I'll remember this day, perhaps, a few months from now.
Could be your downfall.
My downfall. If I lose, I lose $10.36. That's it. I mean, I'll feel
you
it.
You got to double it.
Don't get me wrong. I'll feel it.
You're leading towards your downfall.
All right. That's got it. It done.
Are we done?
We're done.
Well, hopefully I didn't give you a late score. But
no,
already be over. I don't know.
Well, then I'll bet the next game.
I think.
It let me bet them, so it might be tomorrow's game. So, either way.
Oh, yeah. You're probably betting tomorrow's game.
Yep. It's done.
Yeah, that's the one that came up to you, was tomorrow's game.
Perfect.
That's what I'm looking at now. So, there you go. I don't know what the line was. What was the line?
Let's see. -190 on the Guardians is what I got.
There you go. Easy money, baby. Great.
Got it.
All right, are we done?
Mm-hmm.
Good show. Anybody?
Rubio.
Rubio.
Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.